Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. So today on The Voice of Yoga, we have dedicated the next 12 shows to discussing the 12 signs of the zodiac as a map leading to spiritual understanding. Each week focuses on the respective sign as an archetype used in the process of an individual becoming divine. Listen this week as we explain the function of Aries based on the simple observation what surrounds us is within us. These shows will explore why divine law cannot function in your experience if you are not conscious of its presence. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience divine understanding. So Swami, today's title of the show is 12 Signs of Spiritual Truth, Part 1. Can you just tell our listeners what made you decide to take on this particular route with the radio show?
Well, for one, I thought it would give us something that we could build on, because we've been really kind of staying with making a distinction between a secular approach to life as opposed to a true spiritual approach. And to make what you're doing spiritual isn't just a declaration. It's not something that you declare that I'm spiritual, or make statements like, this is spiritual. It took me a long time to figure it out, but what Mary Baker Eddy says as far as, if you cannot heal yourself, you do not understand yourself spiritually. And that kind of puts it on the table, that spiritual law must be demonstrable, not just something that you talk about. I thought maybe if we could organize our information in a way that we could put it in something that was more intelligible, give it more of a path to follow, that possibly at the end of these 12 shows, we might all be able to be at a different level of consciousness and a different degree of awareness than from where we started.
So you're saying that each of the zodiacal signs has much more meaning to us than just our horoscopes, which is why I think a lot of people refer to their signs for that kind of information.
Yeah, and before astrology became property of newspapers and magazines, it originated as a spiritual science, because what surrounds us is within us. The way we understand ourselves, what it is that we identify with, who we think we are, determines how we're going to interpret what's surrounding us. And so, again, using the zodiac, because it is something that has been around, science began with the observation of nature. And so it is almost the mother of all sciences, that astrology was something that the ancients, especially when you think about the way it started, where people were living under the stars, they had a much more personal relationship with what was surrounding them, and it was saying something to them. And that's pretty much what we're trying to uncover, is exactly what it was that it was saying to them. How can we unlock that in our modern day experience of a life that's far more self-absorbed and personal than the way life was when these earlier metaphysical and mystical systems were established and developed?
It kind of makes sense that we would use the science of the stars and planets to help us understand the science of a human becoming divine.
Yeah, and even like what it says in the Bible, on earth as it is in heaven. These were things that I think people had a much better or a deeper interpretation of what that meant. Because what it is that we hold in our consciousness is what we are going to externalize as our experience.
Well, so let's get started on the first sign. What can you tell us about Aries?
Yeah, Aries is the first sign of the zodiac. And one of the things I've always used as an explanation is Aries is the first sign of the zodiac because Aries likes to be first. And so, but apart from the astrology humor, the myth of Aries is found in the key phrase, I am. A lot of times what we refer to as I am becoming. And another important association with Aries is found in the Labors of Hercules. In The Labors of Hercules by Alice Bailey, Aries is symbolized by the capture of the man-eating mares, which is a really telling myth about what Aries really represents and what does it mean when we use the term I am. Because when you try and interpret this stuff from a secular, purely secular level, that a lot of it just is it's a lot of advice and a lot of information that really doesn't have much meaning. But in with regard to a spiritual practice, with regard to the process of a human becoming divine, the concept of I am is essential. It's a platform, and it works under the key question here is the concept of spirit, the concept of God is all. And if God is all, who am I? And so this is something that you need to drill down with. Try and start to understand yourself from beyond just a material, corporeal, finite human image and starting to understand yourself as something that is spiritual, eternal, limitless, infinite. And that transition is really where we find our foothold in spiritual development found in Aries.
Now, I know that phrase, I am, what you're saying, has a very different connotation than how we use the phrase. I remember having some spiritual teachers was saying, well, just use the phrase, I am, and then whatever you want after it, and then you will bring that to yourself. So if I say, I am becoming divine over and over again, doesn't necessarily is going to make that so.
Yeah, because it's not really the words. It's an actual experience. See, when divine mind takes over the scientific government of your being, that is really what dissolves this personal sense of I. And in the framework of using astrology to help us understand what it is that we're trying to do, in the astrological model, Saturn has always been symbolized by fear. People equate Saturn transits with fear. And the main reason for that is because Saturn is the essential component in the principle of manifestation. We can see the planets up to Saturn. So things that are visible and tangible, the testimony of our five senses, up to Saturn has a sense of reality to it. And the reason I've been using the term sense of reality is because it's not the truth of our being. That physical reality is just a concept of the truth of our being. And so Saturn is how we establish a personal sense of I, where we see ourselves as a separate entity. We see ourselves as an intricate part of something that is bigger than ourselves, but we are still individual. But beyond Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, those are what were referred to as the transpersonal planets. And that is what transcends this personal sense of I. But all our fear is found in a personal sense of I. Because if you can really start to drill down with the concept of God is all, that there is one divine life in the entire universe, in all of creation, that there is one divine life, and everything that is appearing is nothing more than that one divine life appearing as whatever it is that is before you, then there isn't any fear. You have attained fearlessness. But the reason you have attained fearlessness is because you have transcended a personal sense of I. You have now shifted your identity from a human to an eternal spiritual being.
So now we want to be able to understand how these signs of the zodiac will help us to do that.
Yeah, because especially in our practice, when we're doing salutation to the moon and we're doing salutation to the sun, and each position has representation, whether it be a physical symptom that makes up the appearance of a human image, or it is the attributes that are associated with the divine creative principle, that the zodiac gives what you're doing a template. It doesn't really matter how you come to this, but to hold the information together, I find having a hub or having a wheel helps me to organize the information and make what it is that I'm doing more intelligible and understandable to the human sense of who I am.
Right. So if we want to try to understand the teachings of Aries, how would you summarize that for us to put it into practice?
The attribute that we use for Aries is, I am brave. And so bravery has always been associated with overcoming fear. And most of us are really trying to do this from a human level, which means that we are in denial of our fear, or we repress our fear, or we're just trying to man up in a certain way that we can perform so that it has the appearance of the absence of fear. But in reality, and I really like the image that's used in Alice Bailey's The Labors of Hercules, the man-eating mares. And when Hercules does capture these mares, they wind up killing his best friend. So there's a lot of symbolism and meaning behind what it is that they're talking about here. But it all has to do with giving up this personal sense of I and doing it in the framework of the hero's journey and the process of us becoming divine. We don't just lose a personal sense of self, but we gain an expanded impersonal sense of spiritual selfhood, which is your optimal base of operation.
Well, this is a great place to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga.
It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, I'd like to get back to talking about Aries, and let's talk about the constellation of Aries and what they might mean for us on a developmental aspect.
Yeah, the constellations that are included in Aries, one is Cassiopeia, who was considered the dominant woman. Cetus, which is also called the sea monster, and Perseus, one who subdues the breaker, is what Alice Bailey calls it. And those constellations, I think, lend a little bit of insight into the myth of Aries. In Alice Bailey's book, she talks a lot about hope as the untried divine equipment. Because in the final analysis, what we're talking about here, this concept of forsaking human thought for divine knowing, it's not just something to talk about, but it is a practical guide for the most effective approach to living and going through this human experience that you can find. When spirit is cause, when we have attention for the presence of divine law, then it has such a huge effect on the external experience that we have that it changes everything. And so most of why we want to try and break this down into these 12 signs of spiritual truth is so that we have a template that we can work with, that we can recognize when we are attuned to the presence of this divine law, as opposed to when we are under the government of the law of karma, when we have a belief in two powers.
So does each one of those constellations, should we have an understanding of what each one of those means so that we can use those lessons to further our development?
Well, this becomes the tricky part, because what we don't want to do is we really don't want to do this humanly. We don't want to do this with human rational thinking. And at the same time, we don't want to just throw our hands in the air and surrender to fate, to whatever it is that life seems to be throwing at us. You want to have a real clear understanding of how to demonstrate the presence of divine law. Because when you look up into the heavens, there are all of these stars that appear, that the more you can organize it and understand it as not so much as something that is causing something to happen, but as something that is happening within your own consciousness that could be giving you clues as to what it is that you are focusing on, what it is that you are holding as important in your consciousness. Working kind of like, it's kind of like shooting a rifle and you're trying to hit a target. That on a rifle, there are two sights. There's a front sight, there's a back sight. And then, of course, you've got to point everything on the target that you want to hit. So with regard to creating a reality that is in sync with divine law, you have to have your starting points, and you also have to have a sense for what this is supposed to look like. And once you have all of your information lined up, it's really not something that you're going to do with human will or personal ambition. It's really a acceptance of the perfection of being. So what's happening here is there's a revealing that's taking place. It's not like we are participating with the perfection of being. And because of our participation, it's having any effect at all on divine order. But instead, what's happening is that we are letting go of a lot of our human concepts, thoughts, beliefs, the changing conditions of our personal mentality, which becomes a huge barrier for us to seeing the creation that's already here, the perfect creation that is being held, controlled, and governed by the presence of divine life. Now, what's preventing us from seeing it is this interference pattern that is coming with the three modes of human thought that we have been talking about. And the more that we operate from that, and the more we think that that is what is real, then the less likely we are to be able to outpicture and experience the perfection of divine law.
So we had talked about the key phrase, I am, and I want to see how that correlates to how do we exercise discernment spiritually? How do we know what's real and what's false? How do we know if we're operating from the right I am?
Yeah, that's what I think we were talking about. If you feel like your life is perfect, if you feel like you are walking in the kingdom of heaven on earth, that you are living by grace, that everything is just harmoniously, peacefully, that you have this abundance of resources, support, and everything is effortless and absolute goodness, absolute love, absolute harmony, then you know that you are in attunement with divine law. If you are experiencing defects, if there's discord, if there is conflict, then you are dealing with a belief in something other than the presence of this divine law, which means that your sense of I has been personalized, that you feel that you are separate from this one divine life, and you are looking to fulfill yourself from the outside bringing in. If your I is you are a human looking out into a world, then you have a very finite and limited sense of who you are. But if you have a sense of connectedness with and an understanding of the function of this one divine life, and you are this one divine life looking into itself, then you start to outpicture a completely different return than you do when you have a personal sense of I.
And is that what you mean when we say in the summary of the show today that what surrounds us is within us?
Yeah, because whatever it is that we hold in our consciousness is what we are going to experience. All we are ever doing, based on the testimony of our senses, is we are experiencing our own thought form. We are experiencing a concept of the perfection of being. Now, acknowledgement of the presence of this one divine mind and the surrender or the allowing of it to take over the scientific government of your being that enables you to actualize and externalize the presence of the perfection of being. But if you do not have that in place, then there's something other than that in your consciousness. And that's where we want to try and make our changes.
So it sounds like we have to kind of go through this transformation, but we have to do it at different levels of consciousness.
Yeah, and you really want to do it from internal instruction. You really want to make the connection with this one divine life. You want to realize that if God is all, who am I? And as you start to meditate on that and you start to drill down with that and you start to see, well, if there is one life and it is all good, then I am that one life. That's when things really start to change for us.
Because we say in the summary that we'll explore why divine law cannot function in your experience if you're not conscious of its presence. And I think you just gave us all kinds of clues to know if we are operating from that level of knowing if we are in the presence of the divine.
Right. And that's a tough catch, like I've been saying all along, that spirit is invisible and it's intangible. And we're accustomed to thinking humanly. We're accustomed to thinking with a five-sense mind. And so we're always looking for stimulation and animation, and any kind of movement is what we're drawn to. But in reality, the presence of spirit really is absolute stillness. It's absolute silence. And it doesn't report in the five-sense mind. And so trying to have allegiance for that, and then, of course, at the same time, having the faith that my attention on doing absolutely nothing, as opposed to enlisting my personal will, turns out to be the best thing that you can possibly do in any given situation.
So, I mean, I think what we're doing here is pretty important to the next, well, now 11 weeks. Can you give us a recap of what we can expect?
Well, what we're trying to do is we're trying to, like I had said in the beginning, we're trying to map out a way of tracking our personal development, which really turns out to be more impersonal than it is personal. It's really realizing, it's a realization that there is but one divine life, and that that life is who I am, which really goes against just about everything that the way we're socialized today, which is really more about me, my needs, my ambitions. It's really not optimal when you start to see that the one power of this universe is absolute harmony. It's peace. It's love. And it's not something that we have to try and make happen. What we have to do is get out of the way and let it live us. And so that's what we're trying to do, is this whole thing of initiating this process, this unfoldment in an individual's consciousness, that they start to see that there is but one power in this universe, and it is eternal, absolute life, absolute harmony, and absolute love.
Well, I think we need to start closing down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the websites www.ipdtransform.com. And there are a lot of tools on that website that you can click on to continue to further your spiritual development. Don't forget, Swami has available Wednesdays at noon a free webinar. You can access that also from the website, as well as our Facebook Live episodes we do every Wednesday at 5. Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage everybody to unlock their potential The other thing I'd like to mention is that there won't be any show next Monday, but it'll be in 2 weeks that we'll have our next show. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.